You are listening to the Corrections Connection News Network, CCNN, your weekly news source for the corrections and criminal justice industry.
Welcome to today's Live Talk. I'm your host, Michelle Gasso. Today we will be speaking with Dr. Lisa Boesky, a clinical psychologist in San Diego. Dr. Lisa Boesky currently develops and delivers a variety of training programs related to adolescents with mental health issues to parents and educational facilities, juvenile justice, foster care, mental health, substance abuse, and child welfare professionals on a national and international basis. She presents keynote addresses and workshops at local, state, regional, national, and international conferences on issues related to adolescents with mental health disorders. And she also provides consultation to various juvenile facilities on issues related to identifying and managing mentally ill juveniles while they are incarcerated or are on probation and parole. She is also an author on issues related to young people who have mental health disorders. Previously, she was a clinical psychologist for the University of Washington Children's Hospital in Seattle, where she coordinated the University of Washington Juvenile Rehabilitation Administration Collaboration Project, which was developed to enhance mental health services for mentally ill juvenile offenders. She has written several books and articles, including the recently published by the American Correctional Association, Juvenile Offenders with Mental Health Disorders, Who They Are and What Do We Do With Them. Today, she will discuss the prevalence of juvenile offenders with mental health problems and strategies for managing them in a detention setting. She is well qualified to talk with us today, and welcome to today's Live Talk, Dr. Boesky.
Thanks so much. Nice to be here, Michelle.
Well, we're very happy to have you, as I said. Now, there's been increased attention being paid to offenders in the criminal justice system with mental health disorders, but has this really included a recognition of the issues that juveniles bring with them to a custody situation?
Well, you're right. It is. We're seeing it much more in the adult system, but it's only starting to trickle down into the juvenile justice system. If you look at the facilities or you look at community supervision, those who directly work with the kids, they know that mental health is an issue. Ask any director of a correctional facility, ask any probation officer or any frontline staff working in detention center or training school. They're very aware of the mental health kids in their care. What we're more concerned about right now is those that are higher up, those that are funding programs, are making policy decisions, are making programming decisions. They're only just beginning to recognize that mental health is such a huge issue right now in juvenile justice.
So are you saying that maybe more education needs to happen? Or
absolutely.
More? Okay, great. And more at that legislative decision-making level?
At every level, but especially up there, yes.
Okay. Can you talk about what some of the recent research is saying about the mental health issues that juvenile offenders present with, and how many in this group really need treatment?
Well, good question. There's really no exact number of how many kids in the juvenile justice system have a quote-unquote mental health disorder. And I want to distinguish disorder from an issue. We could probably say that every kid in the juvenile justice system has a mental health issue and could benefit maybe from some type of counseling, family counseling, some therapy, looking at their kind of decision making.
Mm-hmm.
But what we're talking about is a mental health disorder,
okay,
which means it's a diagnosable disorder and it interferes with their ability to function, whether it's going to school, functioning with their family, their relationships. So when we look at the different studies, they come up with some different numbers. Some are looking at kids on probation. Some are looking at kids in long-term training schools. Some are measuring mental health in a different way. But what we're estimating in general is probably more than half of the youth involved with juvenile justice have a mental health disorder, and about 20 to 30% of those have a serious mental health disorder. And what I'm talking about is a mood disorder, like depression, bipolar disorder, dysthymic disorder, or an anxiety disorder, like post-traumatic stress disorder. We're seeing psychosis these days, kids with schizophrenia, kids who are hearing voices, seeing things, or acting extremely bizarrely. And then, of course, we see a lot of kids who are diagnosed with what we call disruptive disorder, so attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, conduct disorder, and oppositional defiant disorder. So The one thing I want to say, though, is even though we have a huge number of kids diagnosed with conduct disorder and oppositional defiant disorder, nobody really asks the question, why is this kid beating people up? And that's how you get those kind of diagnoses, that you're oppositional, you're lying, you're running away from home, you're not going to school. But people aren't asking the question, why are they not going to school? Why are they running away from home? Why are they cutting up animals? Oftentimes we find underneath that conduct disorder diagnosis that it's really something else going on, like depression, bipolar disorder, or something like that.
Okay. And those kids with those disorders that you just mentioned, those people would need some treatment.
Right. Because it's a quote-unquote disorder, what that says, it's actually causing them significant distress and it's interfering with their ability to function. Anytime it's interfering with the kid's ability to function, they need treatment.
So my next question kind of follows along with that, but what should juvenile justice administrators or agencies be doing to sort of address these issues and disorders, as you say? And are there some models that they could follow?
Good question. One of the things that every agency should be doing is kind of a four-part model that I always suggest. One is, the first and most important is doing good mental health screening. There are several mental health screening tools out there now, and what they need to do is identify these kids the minute they enter, whether it's a facility or they get on their probation caseload, trying to identify, is this kid a youth who has a mental health disorder? And then number two, what type of mental health symptoms or problems are they having? So screening is critical. Number two, there needs to be more mental health professionals in the system. So more psychiatrists. Some of these kids require psychiatric medication. More psychologists. Many of these kids need quality, comprehensive mental health assessments. More social workers. We need people doing therapy with these kids, folks who are actually trained in mental health. So we need more mental health professionals working with the juvenile justice staff. Number three, we need to be using empirically based treatment models, basically meaning things that have been shown to work with our population of youth. Our kids are different than the kids who are just in your general junior high and high school. And so whether it's certain types of cognitive behavioral therapy, if they're using medication, it should only be psychiatric medication that works for the problem. We're seeing now that medication is given for any kind of problem. We really need to be making sure that the right treatment is given for the right problem. And then finally, frontline staff need to be trained in mental health, that we are asking probation officers and correction officers really to manage the most difficult youth in the entire state that they're working in with very little training. I often see that they get more training on bloodborne pathogens and CPR than they do on how to work with mental health kids. So what we're finding is that many of them are going to assume that the behavior they're seeing is due to kind of this bad kid who's being oppositional and in need of punishment, when really it's a sick kid in need of treatment. And staff really can be trained in ways of supporting these youth rather than escalating their mental health symptoms.
Good answer. If you're just joining us, we're talking to Dr. Lisa Boesky about mental health disorders among the juvenile population. So getting back to the care for these juveniles. What is your opinion about a community response to this problem? Should there be public health and community health folks involved in helping get this, you know, group sort of treated? And
No doubt about it. Juvenile justice, I can tell you right now, will not be able to do alone. We have some great people in juvenile justice, but it's too huge of a task. We really need mental health, substance abuse, child welfare, collaborating with juvenile justice. The reason for that is we need to be able to prevent the kids who don't need to be there in the first place from even entering. So we really need to be doing more in the community. Those who actually do get through, the mental health kids that do enter the system, still need good treatment, and then we need to help transition them back into the community once they leave. We often find that the community piece is missing in the front end and the back end, so they end up in the default placement, which is the juvenile justice system. Some good models who are doing that right now is multisystemic therapy really works trying to get this done, and Wraparound Milwaukee. Both are pretty good models for collaboration with community and juvenile justice.
Oh, that's great. What are your thoughts on maybe bringing our society to this kind of a response? Do you think that the government officials need to see this as an important societal issue before we actually get to making this a multifaceted response?
Well, I'm a little concerned. I think it's going to go one of two ways. The first way is how it often goes in juvenile justice is the government will respond when something horrible happens. And I'm a little concerned that something bad is going to happen. You know, right now, many of these very seriously mentally ill kids have nowhere to go. They can't get into the hospital. There aren't any adolescent treatment centers that will take them. And they're not being managed with community mental health. So they're ending up behind bars, and it's very difficult to manage them. They're on a significant amount of medication. They may not have enough mental health professionals to care for them. So I'm a little concerned that some tragedies are going to occur. We've already had, you know, more than enough kids, even one, committing suicide, but we've got many kids committing suicide when they're locked up and kids involved with juvenile justice. But I'm concerned we're going to have other tragedies as well. The good news is that there is, at the government level, starting to be some recognition and moving in the right direction. There was actually a Senate hearing on juvenile detention centers and the concern that they're warehousing kids that are mentally ill because there's no place for them in the community. There's no mental health placements in the community. So they're trying to pass a bill that's going to really give a lot of money, millions of dollars, for more coordinated systems of care for these mental health kids and their families. There's also some other measures that are out there trying to change Medicaid and private insurance to cover more of these kids' mental health issues, and trying to recruit more child mental health professionals so that we can get these kids the help they need so that they don't need to end up in the mental health system. Now, whether, you know, society's going to vote for those measures, whether they're going to pass through, you know, the Senate, I don't know. So that's why I think that we do need to get the word out, because I think right now is a very key time where we have an opportunity where government is listening, and we need to get out there and get them to move forward, because I don't think it's going to be around for much longer.
In the interim, before, you know, we keep all of our fingers crossed and we do get some sort of societal response, but in the interim, Juvenile Corrections is going to have to sort of still manage this problem, though.
Absolutely. I think they should be doing two things. Number one, they need to be collecting data. That's what the government listens to. That's what funding agencies listen to. We can't just say, we've got all these kids with mental health disorders, and then start telling terrible stories and tragedies we've had. We need to collect data to show, look, this percentage of our kids are coming in with suicidal ideation. This many of our kids are cutting and carving on themselves. We've got this huge percentage of kids on psychiatric medication, so that we can prove that the need is there so that we can get the money. But in the meantime, yes, juvenile justice is going to be saddled with dealing with these kids for a while, and that they're doing the best they can. I've seen some tremendous work being done on very few resources. But I've also seen some places who are doing some not-so-good things with these kids. So we really do need to standardize what's going on with these kids while they are in juvenile justice, because it is becoming the default placement and becoming the psychiatric hospital for the kids who used to be locked up in a treatment facility.
Well, Dr. Breska, that's some great advice, and that concludes today's live talk. Again, thank you to Dr. Lisa Boweski for joining us today to discuss this topic.
Thanks, Michelle.
And thank you also to our audience for tuning in. To learn more about mental health disorders among juvenile offenders, be sure to read this week's articles on the Corrections Connection at www.corrections.com. For CCNN, I'm Michelle Gasso.
You are listening to the Corrections Connection News Network, CCNN, your weekly news source for the corrections and criminal justice industry.